comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko. Joining me as always, he is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hello, Mike.
Hello, good sir. How are you doing this fine evening?
Well, I'm glad you asked because I had a very emotional trip to the doctor's office yesterday.
Okay, do tell.
So I get in there. And, you know, it's first of all, it's 7:45 in the morning, and I was there plenty of time. I was there my 10 minutes before, did my virtual check-in or my e-check-in or whatever, and I go inside. I'm sitting down for a few minutes in the lobby before I get called to the back, and the young lady, the MA, the medical assistant in medical jargon, I know this because my wife's a medical provider, and she takes me to the room. She rooms me, that's what it's called, and she sits down, pulls up my file on the chart, and comes over to take, you know, my vitals, my temperature, my blood pressure, and my pulse ox, all that other stuff. And, you know, I'm sitting there, and she's, like, just above, like, her eye level's just above, like, my hair and my head. And then she goes back to her little stool at the computer. She's like, "Something's wrong here. You can't be 38. Told her my date of birth, born in 82. She's like, "No, all that gray hair, you got to be in your 50s or 60s.
Oh my God. And the thing is, you don't, for people who have never seen you or me, you don't have that much gray hair. I mean, you have some. You have like the temp by the temples. I have way more gray hair.
I have what you. I like to call the Reed Richards distinguished gray.
Yeah.
You know, but it, I told her, I said, "Well, you know," I said, "Hey, my dad turned 67 next month, and he's got hair. It's gray, but he's got hair, and I'll take it." So I'm happy with hair. I don't care if it's gray.
I to give you a little secret. Every once in a while, I've dyed my beard.
No,
just not fully dyed it, but just, you know, a couple of gray spots.
Use that touch of gray stuff.
Yeah, touch of gray. Well, actually, it's what's it called? It's basically touch of gray, but it's like beard control something. Geez, beard control GX or whatever. Like you put it on. It's not a one time thing. You have to like every day use it, and then it'll slowly get less gray, and then it'll stick for a while, and then you have to put it back on. I just do it every once in a while, right? And I don't feel bad about it because I just don't. And but I haven't done it in a while, and there's definitely a lot more gray. I've noticed. I don't think you can tell here. Maybe you can, but I can notice at home. But, and I was going to get it again, and I probably will in the future, but I was talking to somebody, a friend of mine, and they said that they don't mind guys with a little gray in their beard. In fact, they like it. So I, even though this person, there's no chance for me with this person because, you know, they're taken.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm like, all right, you know. But it is weird trimming the beard now because the trimmings are getting more and more gray in them than there is, you know, black.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so they thought you were in your 50s or 60s. Mm-hmm. They would have thought I was 70.
And then the doc comes in and you know, he's looking over things. He's like, "Oh, everything's good. You know, this was technically a follow up from 6 months ago with my back, but my back's fine because I'm not doing that. You know, blue collar, but you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I did it for, you know, a few years and would do it more if my body would have lasted longer. But you know, I don't do that particular work anymore. That kind of labor intensive stuff. So it was more, you know, on my knee because my knee is bad. But he also looks. He's like, "Well, I see you've put on 19 pounds since the last time you were in." You're like, "Great, I'm fat and gray." Which, by the way, two things I already knew.
Right.
But then he says something really weird. I said, "Yeah, I know. I'm not thrilled with that. I said, you know, I used to, my last job, I used to burn 3,600 or 3,800 calories a day, and now, you know, I don't. And I used to not have time to eat lunch, and now I do, and, you know, all these other excuses, and that's all that they are. And he says, well, you know, if you want, I can put you on this, and that'll help. And I'm like, no, thanks. He said, that's good. You know, we always like to, I say, you know, I'm going to try to do it, you know, with a lifestyle change, you know, changing how I eat, what I eat, things like that first. He's like, that's good. That's always, you know, but if he's like, but if you find out that doesn't work, just come back and see me.
Nice.
He also says, if your knee gets worse, just, he said, we'll shoot it again. You know, I've had two cortisone shots in my knee, and he's like, just don't even have to make an appointment. Just call him, say you're coming in. We'll shoot it. We'll be on your way. Thanks, Doc.
So, wow.
Very accommodating, my primary care physician.
Yeah.
Which is good because I feel like I'm not quite to a frame up restoration, but I do feel like, you know, the car goes into the shop a little bit more frequently for more serious problems than it did 10 years ago.
I totally understand. I was telling you off the podcast that I haven't worked. Well, I haven't been in the gym in a while, but I just started like a home workout type of thing, like just push-ups and sit-ups again, like I did in the past. And I don't know if it was because of this, it was because I slept wrong or what it was, but for a full day, I think it was my left or right arm, I can't remember, but like the shoulder was hurting, the elbow was hurting, and the wrist was hurting. Like, all where the joints are. And they're not, like, bad pain, but just kind of, like, annoying. Like, I kept twisting my arm and, like, just kind of, like, shaking and stuff. Like, this is just annoying pain. So I don't know what it was from, but I know that wouldn't have happened when I was in my 20s. I know that.
I can also guarantee you that it's not from sleeping. It's definitely from doing push-ups, and that's why I don't do them.
Well, if it was from push-ups, then it would have been on both arms, probably. I always sleep on my side. We talk about this. I'm a side sleeper.
I don't think we've talked about your sleeping habits, Michael.
Yes, we have. On a YouTube video, I know, because I time-coded it as my sleeping habits. So we've talked about it. Go check out our YouTube videos, by the way. They're always on our Facebook page, and we'll probably put them somewhere else, too. But anyway, yeah, so I always sleep on my side, and maybe that was it. I don't know. I'm a big boy, and I sleep on my side, so there's a lot of weight on side. Who knows?
While we're talking about sleeping habits, it was Saturday. I didn't have to wake up early today, so, you know, I stayed in bed. My son runs in. You hear that? Pitter, 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 pitter. I'm like, come on, bud, just go back to bed or, you know, whatever. He's like, where's mommy? I said, I don't know. I thought she was. So she was downstairs. So he runs downstairs. And 20 minutes later, I, you know, roll out of bed and I walk downstairs and I say, hi, honey, how'd you sleep? And she just looks at me, the stare of a woman who did not sleep well. And she said, let me ask you a question. How does your side feel? I said, it's okay. My back's a little sore. Why? She's like, because, I'm not going to make the sound, but she did what's probably a very accurate representation of my snoring last night. And she's like, so that, and I didn't sleep at all, is what she said. She's like, you did that, and I did not sleep. Sorry.
I totally understand. For one, because I'm a snorer. I know this, and I know how bad a snorer I am because I have an app that I used to use a lot called Snore Lab, I think it was, and a record. Basically, like you, for anybody who doesn't have it, you can essentially set it up to record you sleeping or the sound of you sleeping. And you can set it to, like I normally would set it, like, 30 minutes after, you know, after I start it, then 30 minutes will start recording because that way you're asleep, hopefully, by then. And it'll go all night, and then in the morning time you'll listen to it. And I listen to myself, and I'm snoring. I'm like, oh my god, I'm snoring so much. I feel bad for anybody who's ever been in the same bed with me sleeping.
I feel bad for anybody who's ever been in the bed with you sleeping.
Yeah.
And not even for the snoring.
Well, yeah, also true.
Sorry, couldn't resist.
But I, it was too easy. You know, just like, never mind. I was like, oh yeah, I remember who listens to this podcast. Yeah, so, I feel bad for your wife for the snoring, but there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, technically, I guess there is.
I found, you know, talking about those 19 pounds, I was not snoring this heavily at the beginning of the summer. It's definitely a correlation between, and I'm no scientist, I'm no expert, but there is a correlation between additional LBs and the snoring. So,
yes, absolutely.
I laid down one night last week with my boy at his bedtime, laid with him. Cause we like read stories and whatever. And I woke up like 6 hours later. So 4 a.m, whatever time it was in his bed. And I had been on my back the entire time. And I can only imagine the snoring that child had to endure. If it bothered him, like he might be a rock sleeper like I am, where my wife is not a rock sleeper, especially now with the twins and such, where, you know, she's up every hour or more frequently, you know, turning and trying to get comfortable, which I get. So it's hard enough for her to, you know, carry that burden. And then once she finally does get comfortable, all she hears from the other side of the bed is, so poor gal.
So Greg, is our podcast called Snore United or Nerds United? Let's get going. I was thinking of that one. Sorry.
Okay. Well, let's start where we like to start. And you know where that is.
Of course. And avid listeners know what that is. And all right now, they're saying in unison, The League of Regrettable Superheroes by John Moore's The Loot Crate Edition.
That's right. And we're running out of regrettable superheroes. Eventually, this bit is going to be done, and we're going to have to just do something else week to week, League of Awesome Superheroes. I don't know. but I feel like that's kind of the show anyway.
Yeah, basically.
So, we're going to go back to 1960, Charlton Comics. It's October, 60 years ago. Okay. Debuting in Six Gun Heroes number 59. He is Gunmaster. Also,
okay,
probably not, you know, a character you can really have and boast proudly in 2020.
No, probably not.
Let's get into it. Created by Dick Giordano, and I know that's a name we've said on the show before. Timid, bespectacled, Clay Boone, despised by the woman he loves because of his cowardice. If only he could be more like that daring, masked stranger who appears in the tiny old west town of Rawhide in times of danger. Now, unbeknownst to his would-be lady love, Clay Boone, spoiler alert, is that masked hero, the daring duelist known as Gunmaster.
The twists and turns never stop, Greg.
By the way, the official title of the you know, he's the hero, but the title of the book is Gunmaster and Bullet the Gun Boy.
Wow. Okay. Yep.
So, even back in. I mean, obviously this came out after Superman, you know, so where he already had his mild-mannered alter ego. But even in the Old West, Clay Boone, the mild-mannered alter ego of Gunmaster. Shy on superpowers, Gunmaster gets by with an increasingly inventive arsenal of guns and gun-like gimmicks. All of his own creation. When a gun that shoots gas bombs or flares fail to solve the problem, Boone's unerring eye for trick shots make him an admirable enemy of evil. So he's like Hawkeye or Green Arrow, but with guns?
Which, I mean, honestly, is kind of more impressive. More deadly, I think.
I'm trying to think. Did you see the, I think it was 2011, Green Hornet with
Seth Rogen?
Yes.
Yes.
He had some, like, trick bullets, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And the only other one that really, like trick bullets that jumps out of my mind of all movies, got to go back to, like, 2001, and that's Triple X. Xander Cage with Vin Diesel. He's like, it hits you with a paralyzing toxin that looks like a blood splatter, looks like a kill, but's not a kill. He's like, exploding bullets and you know, regular old bullets. I am Groot.
I saw that movie. You remember way more of it than I do. Yes.
I saw it in theaters. Twice.
Okay. So, I think everybody here knows that you don't have good taste in movies. In fact, I almost tagged you in one of the Great Mates YouTube videos because they were talking about bad movie or something that they've collected. Or I forget what it's Let's Crash This Parade is the YouTube person or the YouTube username, channel, whatever it is. And, of course, I mentioned this to you because they talk about Green Lantern on there. And they're just like, I don't know why I got this. Because they're showing, like, Blu-rays that they have. Or Blu-rays or DVDs that they have. And Green Lantern is one of them. And I almost tagged you in the YouTube video. But I'm telling you now instead of tagging you.
Thanks, Mike.
You can watch it. Maybe you can comment.
Maybe I will. But, no, the first time I saw Triple X in theaters was with some of my buddies from high school. You know, just a bunch of guys going to the show, and one of them, he was cluing me in the opening scene where, you know, that you have the spy agent, whatever, in a tuxedo who gets shot in the back in the kind of like Budapest or Polish, you know, kind of club scene, you know, concert, whatever. Right. And you know, that was like the director's and writer's kind of way of like putting an end to the James Bond type of spy. And they were telling me that the band that was up there on stage playing was Rammstein. So obviously when I went to see the movie a second time around with some friends from college, including some ladies, I was like cluing them in on like, that's Rammstein. I was trying to be impressive with the my knowledge of metal music that they did not at all care about. So,
well, and you know, knowledge is good. I will say though that there has been more James Bond since then, and there has been one more Triple X, two more Triple X.
Okay, so you have you have the one with Ice Cube,
right?
Which I believe is I don't want to get him wrong. And then Vin Diesel did come back.
Right. Of course. Of course he's got to.
Of course. we got off way on a tangent. That just goes to show how interesting Gunmaster and Bullet the Gunboy are. Because we've talked more about Triple X than them.
Yeah, care less about Gunmaster. He shoots while cool.
Do we want to cast? I feel like maybe we should.
Yeah, we're casting Vin Diesel.
Okay.
Yeah, that's easy. Vin Diesel's it. Good.
Okay, so Vin Diesel as Gunmaster and Bullet the Gunboy can be
Ice Cube.
I was gonna say Jensen Ackles.
Yeah, that works too. Yeah. All right. They can switch off, who cares?
It's fine.
So you know, have you ever bowled? This does go along with the story. Have you ever bowled before?
As in, like, gone bowling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in a league back in the day.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you know this. So if you get three strikes in a row,
it's turkey.
It's commonly called a turkey. However, I, for years, actually ever since Triple X came out, have been trying to convince people to call it a Vin Diesel. You know? So, if you're ever bowling again, this goes for Greg or anybody, and you get three strikes in a row, congratulations, you're way better than me. Also, shout out, hey, I got a Vin Diesel. It'll catch on eventually.
Bringing it back. I like it. All right.
Yes.
We have some avid bowlers who are listeners, so the challenge is to you. Get it going. Make it a thing.
Yeah.
And tell everybody that you heard it here on Nerds United.
You hear that, best friend of the show, Josh? I assume he's a bowler. I don't really know.
I don't think Josh is a bowler. I'm not saying he's not. I don't think we ever went bowling when we used to like be roommates and stuff. We just went drinking. You could do that without going to the bowling alley.
I was going to say, I've been to the bowling alley before, and I just would just drink there.
I know which bowling alley you're talking about, too.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
The one in your hometown.
Yep.
Yep. Good bowling
alley. I've been there in a long time, but still.
All right, so that wraps up all of the topics that we had, quote-unquote, planned for this week's show. Now the big one. We're just going to put it out on Front Street. Spoilers now.
Yes.
If you haven't seen all of season 2 of Mandalorian, hit stop, go watch it, and come back. We'll be here because we are going to do some spoilers, and we don't want to make anybody mad. So, Mandalorian season 2 spoilers, 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 spoiler alert, spoilers are coming.
Pew pew, spoilers!
Indeed. So, Luke Skywalker, huh? I warned him.
It's true.
I knew that eventually Mandalorian, like Mando, was going to have to find a Jedi or one of the child's, you know, people, you know, be it their you know, that race of creature or what, or again, just the Jedi. I feel like it was accelerated way too much. Like, you could have had more adventures in a galaxy far, far away, but now, you know, I think the whole excitement of the show was that dynamic between him and, you know, the child that we now know as Grogu. So when Grogu goes off with Luke, I feel like there's not a whole lot for Mando to do, except, of course, I guess, rule Mandalore, because he wields the Darksaber, so I don't know.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying, but at the same time, if I had to play devil's advocate, like, how much do you push it to where, I mean, is it going to be season 2, he doesn't find the Jedi, but he gets close, season 3, he doesn't find the Jedi, but he gets close, you know, eventually you do have to have an end to it, or sure, an end to this arc, perhaps.
No, that's a good point. Well, otherwise, you run the risk of, like, becoming, you know, in like, the Walking Dead territory. Where,
yeah, exactly. You know? Yes.
So, I get it. No, that's a great counterpoint. I just, you know, I guess to counter your counterpoint, they had 17, 19, something like that, episodes of Mandalorian total so far.
Right.
Where, you know, a season of Walking Dead is 22, 23 episodes. So,
very true. Yeah.
I don't know. I like the going back to, like, a lot of the season 1 guests that they had. You know, like, the Bill Burr episode was fantastic.
Yes.
And I know that she's caught some crap lately online, but I like the Cara Dune character. I like Gina Carano, and and she's very fitting. And what a nice touch! You know, they explain that tattoo under her eye, and, you know, that she's from Alderaan. Yeah, they got into right in that first scene of this latest episode, and the stormtrooper's like, "Yeah, I was on the Death Star. We blew you up," and then, you know, she shot him in the face.
Right. Yeah. So two things, real quick. One, I don't remember a tattoo on her eye, and I don't know if I'm just not paying attention when I'm watching shit. And now that you say it, I'm probably going to look at it. Oh, of course. Also, too, can I just talk about how great of an actor, surprisingly, Bill Burr is?
Yeah.
Because he's not an actor. He's a stand-up comedian and one of the probably top five easily, top three even, best stand-up comedians that for me personally. But my God, and really good actor. And I say that like I'm giving him praise.
No, he nailed
he's
that.
Not playing a funny guy.
No, yeah,
yeah. I'm
not trying to cut you off, but like in the first in his first appearance in season one, you know, he was a bit more of that like snarky, sarcastic, you know, type of, you know, he's like, whatever, you know, I don't, he played up that Boston persona a little bit more, but we got right. A lot of character depth, I think, in this most recent viewing of him, you know, and the that scene that they had in the in I don't know, cafeteria room or whatever you want to call it, the break room, that was some really, really good stuff.
Yeah. So, absolutely. You just sent me the picture of Gina Carano playing whatever she played.
Cara Dune.
Yes. I remember seeing the tattoo. I just assumed it was a bull.
Yeah.
So,
not wrong.
I don't feel bad for missing it.
But yeah, it was nice to get a little bit of context. I feel like, you know, her character got more depth. You know, Bill Burr's character got more depth. And, you know, we haven't really talked, I don't think, too much about Mandalorian this season. But, you know, we also got Bo-Katan and, of course, yeah. Ahsoka Tano. And they're more, like, extended universe type of touches that we got. But it all led to... you know, we got a mention of Grand Admiral Thrawn. And that I know, you know, best friend of the show, Josh, is a big fan of that character. And he keeps recommending books to me that I don't have time to read the books that I have now, but eventually I'll get there. and I believe that Thrawn is also in Star Wars Rebels, and you know, on Disney Plus, if you wanted to check that out. And there was a list of episodes that I saw and wasn't courteous enough to pass along to you, but best friend of the show, Josh, was. And it's like all the episodes of Clone Wars and Rebel cartoon series that include like Mandalorians or that would be potential lead-ins to the Mandalorian series. So that's floating out there. Mike, maybe if you still have it, you can post it on the Facebook sometime in the next couple of days.
I do have it, and I want to say it's from my new Facebook friend, best friend of the show, Josh.
Yeah, nothing's nothing sacred anymore. but yeah, you know, then you know, I saw a lot of people talking about this. I watched the episode last night, actually. We could have recorded this after the football game because we both stayed up, watched the series or season finale of Mandalorian. But I did. I watched that final episode last night, and was very excited for it. I think the acting is phenomenal. Peyton Reed did this last episode, but he joins a stellar group of directors. They've pulled every bit of emotion out of the pages of these scripts and really just put them on the screen or on film or on digital or however it works in Hollywood anymore. They've done it just tremendously well. And then again, you get that surprise of Luke Skywalker at the end when you see the X-Wing coming around. And you knew that something was going to happen. There were a lot of speculation and in a couple of episodes back, you know, after Ahsoka had told Mandalorian that, you know, go to this planet, put the child on this stone, and if he reaches out with the Force, you'll have some better luck. I can't help you. If it doesn't reach out to the Force, then, you know, you're sorry type of thing.
Right.
So Grogu does, you know, sends the signal far and wide, and then, of course, gets taken shortly thereafter. And some of the speculation was, oh, maybe it'll be Luke. Maybe it'll be Ezra from Rebels, which I'm not terribly familiar with that show, so I'm not much help in that regard. And then, of course, ended up being Luke Skywalker. 5 years. The show takes place 5 years after the events of Return of the Jedi. So we really, that's like the first opportunity that we saw or that we've had to see Luke Skywalker just, you know, like taking care of business with a lightsaber and using the Force and using all of his abilities as a Jedi to take down those dark troopers. I think that's what they're called, right?
Sounds about right.
Yay.
You know, maybe this is controversial. I don't know, or maybe it's because I'm still kind of a novice when it comes to Star Wars. But I was really hoping that it was not going to be Luke Skywalker, because every single Star Wars story seems, and I trust me, I get this, but everything seems to connect to the Skywalkers. Everything has to go back to the Skywalkers. And I thought for once, okay, this story is it's kind of connected, but they don't have to blatantly say, hey, here's Luke Skywalker. And they did. So I know a lot of people were probably very happy and, like, jumping up and down for joy, I don't know, when Luke Skywalker showed up. But I just went, huh, okay, cool. So they obviously, I don't think it was actually Mark Hamill, but they obviously de-aged him. Or they either de-aged him or they did like a CGI type of thing.
I looked it up on IMDb after the fact, and they had a like stand-in, you know, like a age-appropriate, you know, stand-in, and there was a euthanization. No, wait, that's the wrong word. That's a way wrong word.
On set, Riley.
They did do the de-aging process in some type of digitizing. I thought it looked wonky. I thought it looked clunky when he was trying to talk, and I felt like the lips and the words were not synced up or it didn't look right.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to mention, too. Yeah, they were not synced up. And you could definitely tell very, very blatantly that it was them taking audio recordings from something else and putting it in there, which would bring me to another point. Obviously, if you want to extend the story of Grogu being with somebody else, you can't do it this way. Unless you have the very first scene of... you know, Grogu and Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker gives Grogu to somebody else, another Star Wars character that can actually be in the movie, and just says, "Hey, take him for now. I'll be back at the end of the season."
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then he leaves, because you can't have another season with the fake Luke Skywalker.
So I just dropped you another image. I want you to take a look at. And tell me if that is a passable Luke Skywalker.
Yes, indeed, Sebastian Stan, absolutely.
Okay, so you know who I'm talking about. Okay.
Mm-hmm, of course. I've seen it several times, and I agree every time I see it.
Okay. Well, apparently, Jon Favreau didn't agree.
Well, I mean, look, Jon, you made a good Iron Man movie, and you probably made other good movies that I've seen. Elf, that was a good one. You directed that.
Swingers.
You're wrong in a sense, you know. Can we talk about another thing? I don't know how much time we're at. Can we talk about another thing? By the way, I did like this season. I did. But one thing that I should have led with this. What did you think about Mando taking his mask off or his helmet off?
Which time?
Exactly. Yeah. Near the end with the Bill Burr scene. Or any time.
So that's the crazy part, too, because, like, you know, Bill Berg, they, you know, that, or that episode, you know, the two characters are going into this little break room to get the communicator or data port, whatever it is. And Bill Burr's like, oh, no, I can't go in there. That guy's going to notice me. He's going to recognize me. I can't go in there. And then they all sit down together. And he's like, the officer didn't recognize him at all.
No.
And they were, you know, he's having this big, he's like, he walks in, he walks out. He's like, nope, can't do it. I'm like, you're drawing more attention to yourself. Just go get what you need and go.
yeah.
I don't know who I made the comment to, if it was you or best friend of the show, Josh, as I was watching this, because I think he was watching it last night as well. And we just had like, you know, three slightly off time, you know, in three different locations, just huge Mandalorian watch party. But I said, it looks like Pedro Pascal stepped away from filming Wonder Woman 84 to come over and you know, take his helmet off a couple of times, because his cheeks look, and I'm not criticizing the guy, but he looked like he was in his character of Maxwell Lord for Wonder Woman 84, which, by the way, comes out in less than a week on the HBO yes. Max. We'll talk about that briefly here at the end. So I just felt it makes sense for the story. You know, he had to take it off because he had to get the information, you know, at the Imperial base. And I think that was the first time that Grogu had ever seen his face. So, you know, if that's, I don't know. I see the reasons behind it. And as he learned, in that first meeting with Bo-Katan, where they all have their helmets off, and she's like, that's the extremist way. Mandalorians don't really, you know, we take our helmets off. It's okay, dude. So I don't know.
Here's what I was thinking about it. I can almost guarantee this happened. His publicist or manager or somebody, when they were talking about the contract for season two, said, okay, but we'll do it, but my client needs to show his face, because that's what's going to sell, and we want my client, his face, to be out there. So you have to have his face on screen for X amount of time.
See,
and they said, you know, 5-10 minutes. And then they wrote it, and then instead of like, here's where the story should go, they just said, okay, we need to have his mask off at some point in time, so why should his mask be off? And then they did that scene. I did not like it at all.
I think to counter your statement there, I don't think that the story, like, I don't think for the branding, you know, for merchandising, whatever, why would you ever take the helmet off? You know, it's the Mandalorian, it's, you know, but, and, you know, being a foundling, and that's the order, that's the guild or whatever that he came up in. You're not, theoretically, there could be anybody under that mask. You know, the voice was cool. You know, but it could be any other, you know, serious voice, and I'd be fine with it. I could more likely see a scenario where in season two negotiations, where the agent, manager, whomever is talking with Disney, and they say, we want our client, Pedro Pascal, to have a raise. And Disney saying, if he's going to want a raise, he's going to have to show his face more. You know? Oh, okay.
See, well, I would possibly, yes, but you kind of just mentioned it. You said anybody could be under the helmet.
Right.
So if you have a client in Hollywood and you want people to know who this is, because you want, you know, the more there's faces out there, the better it is, and you have a big show like The Mandalorian, you want that face to be seen. So that's why I think it was publicist or manager or whoever, or maybe it was Disney, who knows. Mm-hmm. But somebody wanted his face to be seen, and then they wrote it in like that. The only time I would have thought that, like, okay, it would have been good to show his face is at the very end when he does show Grogu, because it's an emotional connection between the two,
mm-hmm.
and it would have been more of him, you know, like, this is my true self. and he takes the helmet off. So, you know, Grogu can touch his face with a little Yoda hand and stuff like that.
And I don't know about you, but I love that dialogue between Luke and Mandalorian where, you know, Mandalorian looks over at Grogu. He's like, he doesn't want to go. And Luke says, he's asking for your permission, you know.
Right.
I mean, because this is, like, I know that Grogu, because of being that particular species, is like 50 years old. But, you know, he's still very much a child. And so the bond that they have over the last, I don't know how long, you know, in space years, you know, they were together, but they did, they had a strong bond and to where, you know, Mando was as much a father figure to him, you know, as anybody went, you know, looking for him and crossing the galaxy and everything else and doing everything he could to protect him. And, you know, admonishing him when necessary, you know, like with frog lady eggs and things like that. So yeah, you know, and it's almost like I kind of look at it as like sending your child, and I've not ever experienced this, other parents have, but like sending your child to like camp or college where, you know, it's like, I guess I'm going to entrust you into the, you know, your life into the hands of the stranger. Good luck.
Right.
You know,
it's
emotional.
For sure. Yes.
So.
Yeah, so I could totally understand taking off the helmet then. I also thought, not to keep harking on the helmet thing, but that's what I was thinking about a lot. I was also thinking during the Bill Burr scene, I thought, okay, he has his helmet off. He does this face, because he has to do a face scan. And then, you know, bad dude starts walking up to him and talking. So I thought he was going to quickly put the helmet back on.
Yeah.
No, he just keeps it off. And they sit down and have a long conversation, the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not like, what? I guess,
and that's the crazy thing too, because it's not like you don't see other stormtroopers inside with, you know, all, they're not all like, you know, holding on their helmets. They're, you know, they're wearing them. It's almost because it's been ingrained in our, you know, like our pop culture DNA since 1977 is that, like, you know, stormtroopers don't take their helmets off. The first one they did was Finn, and, you know, he survived three movies, but you know, that was the first one that took their helmet off. And, cause that shocked the world. Like, stormtroopers can be black, you know, and, you know, full disclosure, of course, I know the Clone Wars and everything like that, you know, so I'm talking about like strictly, you know, essentially New Hope and on, you know, where it's less clones and more apparently abducted children. So,
yes. So, enough about the bad parts of Mandalorian. What did you enjoy about it? Did you like season 2 or 1 better?
I don't know. I'm going to go back and watch them both probably, you know, between now and February. And by that, I mean the beginning of February. Like, I plan on rewatching. Granted, you know, the flexibility of these particular episodes is that some of them are 30-something minutes long, you know. So, as I feel like we got deeper into the mythos here in the second season. I think what I appreciate the most about the first season is that it wasn't relying on Jedi, you know.
Absolutely.
It was just, you know, other Star Wars stories. It was, I'm not trying to elevate one or knock the other one down, but it was kind of like Solo, you know, in that there wasn't really any, I don't recall any Jedis in Solo, and you think I know, I just rewatched it. But there are no Jedis. So it's, you know, it's a little bit of a break from that thing that, you know, we've become really accustomed to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What did you think? I don't know if you want to mention more. I have more to mention about Mandalorian or not. But what did you think about the very end / the end credit scenes?
That was weird. First of all, I mentioned this to a best friend of the show. I said, "Damn, it must be the chair because Bib Fortuna got fat." Yeah, and that you know, they say the Book of Boba Fett or something like that.
Right.
So I don't know if that indicates that he's going to, you know, take over the smuggling ring or what. It's very unusual because he's been on Tatooine this entire time. Like, what was stopping him from going in there and, you know, claiming the throne years ago?
He just didn't feel like it.
He needed to get his mojo back.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we needed. We needed to see Bobo get his mojo. Bobo,
yeah, Book of Bobo Fett, Book of Bobo Mojo.
It's Bobo.
Coming December 2021 to Disney Plus. Now, does that, and because I've kind of been reading stuff online, is that in place of a Mandalorian season 3? Is there going to be a Mandalorian season 3?
There is a Mandalorian season 3. It was already, I believe it was already announced before. It was either before season 2, you know, started, the episode started falling, or early on in the run.
You were probably correct. I'm guessing maybe that's going to be 2022 then when it comes out? Or, I mean, they can still have it in 2021. Like, maybe. Okay, so they can have a shit ton of stuff in 2021 if they want.
Right, yeah. And that's the thing, too, is, like, I was thinking about this. Since this pandemic stuff, we've had The Boys.
Yep.
We've had Mandalorian.
Yep.
We've had Hamilton. I mean, you know, that's some people's cups of tea and you know, sure. Others not. We've had some really great content to stream across, you know, numerous platforms. And so since we can't go to theaters, that's, you know, I got to imagine that's how some people are staying sane. Lovecraft Country, I know you and I really enjoyed that one and other stuff. By the way, have you watched more whatever it was you were watching? Was it Doom Patrol or was it Titans?
No, I haven't. I'm on like season 2, like episode 1 or 2. I switched over to watching Stranger Things again. So I've seen the first 2 seasons again of Stranger Things. And I might go back and watch Titans. It wasn't, I liked it, but I don't know. It's for some reason, I'll watch something for a while, then I'll be like, even though if I like it, I'll be just like, let's see something else. And then I'll have to watch something else.
I'm like that to a point, but I also like to finish things. Things that I like, I should say. That's probably why Doom Patrol, I think, is sitting on episode 4. I'll say this. I was skeptical after the first episode, but right. I feel like as I watch more, I like it more. I've been watching more Stargirl. And I'm still enjoying Grimm over on Amazon Prime, but that's an older show.
Okay, so I know we're almost out of time, but really we don't have a time limit. This ain't the half hour power Greg Chad thing. This is we go as long as we want.
Yeah, but realistically, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, I know. So okay, there's gonna be a slight spoiler for Doom Patrol. Slight spoiler. So there's a character. No, I want you to hear it. But I'm gonna say Greg took off his headphones. I'm like, no, Greg, I'm saying this for you. This is I think season, maybe he gets introduced in season 1, but this happens in season 2. There's a character called Flex Ventello. He is a bodybuilder whose superpower is he flexes certain muscles and reality changes. It gets weirder. Okay, so like he'll flex, I don't know, bicep, and then he can make a rose appear somewhere, whatever, right? So at one point in time, I forget what he's supposed to do. But he's supposed to flex a certain muscle, and something is supposed to happen. Well, and they have a ton of characters there. You know, I think all the main characters are there. And he flexes, and all of a sudden, I'm trying to think of how I'm going to say this, no one who listens to this podcast. All of a sudden...
Do all the ladies shriek in ecstasy?
Yes.
Okay.
And guys.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody does. I'm talking... The whole street of people does. And for a very long time. And it is so funny. And of course, then he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I meant to flex the blah, 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 but I flexed the minor blah, blah, blah and said, I'm so sorry. But one of the funnier things is that, was it a robot man who obviously doesn't have the parts.
Right.
Is clearly faking it because he's looking around and he's noticing everybody, you know, going there.
Uh-huh.
And then he just starts doing it himself, like very, very horribly. So, yeah, that's one of the funniest scenes I've seen. I remember watching that scene and then asking you how much you've seen. I think you had only seen one episode at the time. So, yeah, if you ever get that clip, I might find that clip and then send it to you. It was very, very funny. So.
I think it's great that I did a quick Google for Flex Mentallo, and they said that, of course, created by Grant Morrison and artist Richard Case in 1990 during their Doom Patrol run. Flex is in part a parody of Charles Atlas's long-running The Insult That Made a Man Out of Mac advertisements seen in American comics from the past. Do you remember those at all? Have you ever seen any read any comic books that are old enough to have that particular like advertisement in it?
It sounds very vaguely familiar. I don't know if I've actually seen the books or I've heard people talking about them.
So there are a lot of those, like I mentioned that Captain America book in a YouTube show, Nerd United on YouTube, so check it out.
Right.
But it's predominantly in like the very inside cover, and it's it's Max at a beach. He's trying to talk to he's scrawny. He's trying to talk to a girl, and he gets sand kicked in his eyes, and he says, "Well." By some, beach bully. He's like, well, with this Charles Atlas fitness program, I'm going to go back and show him a thing or two. And then he punches out the guy and wins the girl. That's essentially,
right.
it's like over like six or eight panels of just side by side squares. So it's, it's, but it was in there a lot. But yeah, when Wikipedia made that comment, I'm like, oh, I definitely see the, comparison.
Oh yeah.
The similarities between Flex Mentallo and those old ads. So, very good stuff.
Yes. Are you going to watch Wonder Woman next week?
Yes. Probably on the 26th, if I'm being honest.
That's right. I'll watch it on the 25th and tell you how it is.
You would too.
Like, Greg, we need to do a podcast now.
So this was a tweet from earlier today at 1:40. I don't know what time. It's from Mark Hamill himself. And he says, the fact that we were able to keep my involvement a secret for over a year with no leaks is nothing less than a miracle. A real triumph for spoiler haters everywhere. Hashtag loose lips sink starships. Hashtag STFU. So, attaboy Mark.
Well, okay.
And by the way, that tweet was shared to me just a moment ago by best friend of the show, Josh.
Two things. One, I thought you said, all right, this tweet came at 1:40. I'm not sure what time, which I believe the time would be 1:40.
Well, it said 1:40. Looks like it was the time that it was pulled from Twitter and put on comicbook.com. 1:40 p.m.
Okay. Looks like, fair enough.
So,
second, yeah, I could. Okay, good. Yeah, I did get spoiled, but it's not like Mark Hamill was on set. It's not like they had to sneak him on set. They had to sneak somebody who resembled the same body size as him when mm-hmm. he was in his 20s.
Yeah, 30 something years ago.
And maybe have two. Computer people put the face on, and then somebody just get a tape recorder and put it next to the microphone and hit play. That's how bad the audio was for it.
You're a little piss and vinegar on this situation, aren't you?
It just on that. I like the rest of the season. I want to see more of Mando. or Manda, as we realize he should be called.
He is Mandalorian, not Mandalorian, but what do we know? So
everything, basically.
All right. You mentioned it a moment ago. Yes, Wonder Woman 84 is on HBO Max and in theaters on Christmas. I've got the Max. You've got the Max. And we will watch it and not spoil anything for you probably in the future.
Correct. Yeah, we're definitely not going to spoil it right away. We'll do maybe not the next podcast episode, maybe one after that.
Mike, let me ask you a question. If you didn't have HBO Max, would you go see it in the theater?
Hell no, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I am trying to not be outside that much.
Follow-up question, Mike.
Yes, great.
Not that we are, this is not political. This is just science.
Okay.
When the vaccine becomes available to you, will you get it?
Immediately. Only because whenever there is something that I can inject in my body that is medicine, I will do it.
I'm glad you said that is medicine.
Maybe it gives me superpowers. Maybe it makes me a super villain. Who knows? Either way, it's going to be a good story.
I'm very curious. I have a feeling, however, that if we both got it and had adverse reactions, I'd probably be the one to go rogue and you'd be the superhero.
I could see it going the other way.
They would be chanting your name and lining up in the streets all with their masks, socially distanced, to be like, Super Mike! Super Mike! Greg sucks! Greg sucks! Super Mike!
I don't know, because I think, okay, you have a wife and three kids to like fight for. I just got one kid, and he's awesome, but still, I mean,
you're like, he can fight for himself, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's good. 16.
I do feel, though, that the pressure of maintaining the house and paying the bills with more mouths to feed,
right?
It can be overwhelming. I might turn to the dark side, Mike.
I understand. Hey, maybe, and you know what? Maybe we both go to the dark side. You know?
Super bro, evil tag team.
Yes.
All right. You can be the mighty Captain Marvel, and I'll be Captain Blue Shirt. Okay, non-generic Blue Shirt Man.
Apparently there's a party going on at my neighbor's house.
You should tell him to knock it off. It's late.
I don't care. I'll be up for a while.
We don't know exactly when we will get together to entertain you folks again, because we do usually record on Fridays, and the next two Fridays are holidays. Maybe we'll do stuff on some Saturdays. We don't know, but if it is a couple of weeks till we get together again, you hope that you have a Merry Christmas, and check out the YouTube channel. Find the YouTube videos when we put them on Facebook. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on the YouTube and on the podcasts. Have a Merry Christmas. If we don't talk to you, I'll be honest, but we won't talk to you before Christmas. So everybody have a Merry Christmas. Mike, any final thoughts?
Nope, you said it perfectly. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, however you want to feel good this time of year. Be happy. When you're happy, listeners.
However you want to legally feel good this time of year, or do you not care?
To be honest with you, not really.
I don't know. Mike's over here my name's Paul, this is between y'all, I'm out.
Exactly.
I wash my hands of this. He is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. I am Greg Mahochko. We are Nerds United, and we'll see you next time. So be kind
and rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.